It's not a wristband. Ewan's just had part of his wrist removed.
Is it green?
Based on some of the emails I get, mate, people reckon I'm all wrist. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in technology. It's actually been quite an interesting week, and there's a few things gone off that you may or may not know about. We have a great panel, a little bit at the last minute for Adam, but I feared about 20 minutes ago that there was going to be me and Righty shooting the breeze, but it's not worked out that way. We're all good. We're all good. Starting us up, top left, it's Lee Garrett. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. Second time on in 2 weeks, I think. This is good.
I still nearly said my productive Mac.
Hey, you can do that. I don't mind that. Jesus.
No, because it's not your name, is it? It's not right. You need to put it.
Not quite yet. I'll depoll it soon, I'm sure.
Anyone whose Twitter handle isn't their real Twitter handle isn't allowed on. That's it. There you go. No, I'm joking.
Oh, is that a new rule?
What you been up to? Okay. Well, no, I just made it up. So what you been up to then, pal?
Trying to get more sort of contracts and work and more writing, etc. And it's all good. I've got a nice new few months coming up. It's all nice and healthy.
So, Deep Pan, he's already running a sweep on who's got the VW story in the chat room. Whoever says it is going to have four other people, including me, go, oh. Next to Lee, it's Adam. How you doing, mate?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, great. No worries at all, mate. I haven't queued up your solo shot, so you'll have to just carry on BSing while I get that done.
I'm just going to hang out here in the upper square.
You are our super sub, the man off the bench, the David Fairclough of BTN. You have no clue who David Fairclough is, do you?
I have no idea what the references you're talking about
are. Go to YouTube and type in David Fairclough super sub. And
I did manage to peeve off all the Brits this week, though, on my show.
Really? Why would you say?
Yeah, for fun. Because I didn't think for 2 seconds about how conversion rates work.
Oh, okay, go on.
So I said you guys were getting a deal on Apple Music, but you're still getting screwed. So.
Yeah, no.
I was totally wrong.
We've got the
old VA. I was confused about that one as well, Adam. That one. I was going to write in, but I thought, nah, you'll work it out.
Believe me, I heard it. I heard it loud and clear.
We've got the old VAT issue, you see. That's the thing, is you guys pay tax at the door, whereas we pay tax before we get to the door.
Well, but still, £9.99 and £9.99 US is not the same amount of money.
No, it's not.
And had I thought about that for a millisecond, I would have realized my error.
And based on the fact that your currency is kind of level with Bolivia, we're, No, it's not.
So,
I'm joking.
Issued an apology on today's show, so we're all good.
Oh, don't apologize, man.
That one I had to, because that was just dumb.
You think?
Yeah.
Nah. No way.
We have to apologize for every time we annoy someone or anything like that. We never get a show out.
I'm going to say, I talk shit every week and get away with it, so steady on. Next to him, there's going to be mass confusion here, because I think he's on the right one. Normally Righty's the last one, but actually I've got him on where line two should be, which is Richard. So, so Righty boy, how the devil are you, man?
Hello, mate. I'm here this week.
Change of seats. What's been going off, pal? You spent some money today.
I know. I bought a video wall and touchscreen monitors. We're building this thing called, it's called the CETL Centre. I don't even know what it stands for, but it's this new kind of learning technology centre that we're building at the UEA, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. It's going to be steampunk designed, and we're going to have all this technology and, you know, bring in the university in the 21st century. And yeah, for some reason, I became building manager today. I had to decide where the holes in the walls went, where the networking went, where the power went, and all this sort of thing. But it's all sorted. November the 5th, we open, and I can't wait.
Mate, I've got I'm installing some display boards at a place in the next weekend, and I've had. So, are you drilling holes? No, it's just all Velcro that's stuck to the wall. Okay, but how's that drilled to the wall? It's not drilled to the wall. It's all Velcro stuck to the wall. It's fine. Yeah, but okay, that's fine. But where are you drilling the holes? No, there's no holes. There's no holes. It's Velcro. It's double-sided. It's Velcro.
It's funny you say it. I did order a lot of Velcro today, because we are going to like Velcro a lot of stuff to the back of the screen.
Make sure
it's your best mate, isn't it?
No, make sure you order the exhibition Velcro, mate.
Oh, yes, I was well advised.
Shite. Yeah. And last but by no means least, it's Dr. Richard Harkness.
Hello.
Now, tell us your tale of woe, boy.
It's been an adventure getting on here.
Dude, if there's a marks for effort, you've got 11 out of 10. Well done, mate. Thank you ever so much for coming on.
My iMac's been away for a little bit of a repair, and the shop decided that they didn't want to tell me that it's actually back in the shop, which I've just discovered today after ringing them this afternoon. So Ewan decided would give it a try with using the smartphone. So I've tried that, and God, I'm on a different Skype account than what I'm used to, and I can't get back into that Skype account. And oh my God, it's been a nightmare as usual. So, but I'm here, so that's good. At long last, I've managed to get back on the show. So, hurrah!
Back when she's slowly losing it because she's saying that she can see right up Dr. Sexy's nose. I don't know. There's got to be a nosophily type. Delineation for people that are enjoying the inside of people's noses, but there you go.
It's not that bad.
No, I think I think she's saying it's rather good. It might even get on the moist list, mate, if you play your cards right. Right. So now the other thing is, have you been backing off on the locum work, mate?
The heck's that?
Well, the thing is, I just wondered if you'd been backing off on the locum work and getting some voiceover work. Because I downloaded a game that's called something cricket. I can't even remember what it's called. It's an okay game, but it's nothing brilliant. And I started playing it, and there we go, hang on. That's you, mate.
That's not bad, is it? It's not
that's
far off,
you. Yeah. You have done moonlighting for the voiceover for international cricket.
Good shot, and it's gone all the way for four.
That is you.
Maybe somebody's been sampling the podcast and just taking bottles of cricket.
Listen again. This is you. Right, now tell me that is not you. You have been moonlighting for some Indian conglomerate that's made International Cricket 2014.
If anyone wants to hire us for voice talent, that's fine by me.
Do you hear that? That is it. That is the voice that is on that game. I am telling you.
I wish it was.
I hope you're declaring it, because I'm sending that to HMRC, mate. Dr. Richard, super sexy doctor, international voiceover artist.
Put that on the about me page.
As long as I get the quote, that's the key.
Yeah.
Please say hello to Joseph, says MacAirsey. Who needs to say hello to Joseph? Hello, Joseph. Everyone say hello to Joseph.
Hello, Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
Batwing says wet noses are her thing.
Oh dear God!
I'm really backing away from the sniffing arses pun there. I just want you to all know that.
I think it says not my thing.
Oh Jesus, Joseph's 6 years old.
Aww.
That's social services round in the morning then. Hello, Joseph. Time for bed, mate. The week in tech, what's been going on, what's been going off, what's been happening, who's done what, and who's going to get fined? Who wants to start off with the VW story then? Who didn't, that'd be the test, who didn't bring the VW story?
I didn't think of that one as a story.
Oh, okay, looks like we're not talking about the VW story then. Now, VW have been fined 18 billion, or they're going to be fined 18 billion, for putting in a
polluting piece of, the environment.
Well, they've been putting a piece of malware in their internal systems that basically the engine pumps out shit the whole time, and then when it's tested, it goes, nope, I'm good as gold. That's pretty impressive engineering.
Yeah.
You got to say.
Is Samsung's doing them then?
For doing what?
Copying their technology.
I just want to say that the views of Dr. Richard are entirely his own.
I have no evidence to support this whatsoever.
Has CarPlay hacked the engine management system, says Troisky. I don't know what to say, because anything you say could potentially be libelous. And also, it's just like, well, okay, you're going to get caught, you're going to get fined. Well done for trying to get away with it, but you know, it shows initiative after all.
I mean, how many tons of extra CO2 have they kicked out?
$18 billion worth.
It was off by 40%. It was pumping out 40% more than the California allowed amount. I guess we have pretty strict regulations here in California, but it was doing 40% more than the California limit or the federal limit in the states.
That's 40, not 14. 40, right. It's just 40%.
Yeah, because they've been claiming that they have this, you know, clean diesel engine, right? And everybody kind of, when they announced it, everybody's like, I don't know how that's possible, but okay. Turns out it wasn't true.
Batwin says, how can it do that? So, I mean, from what I understood, this is basically malware, and it's like all good malware does. It performs normally under scrutiny, but then it does all the damage when you're not looking. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't really know the technical part of it, but yeah, it's tweaking with the, like, so when they hook it up to the machines, because everything's computerized these days.
Yeah.
So the computer is like, you know, reporting what the levels are, and I think it's just they put in software that would basically lie, that would basically tweak the number that was being output to the, when it was hooked up to the machine at the mechanic, or at, you know, at the testing facility.
So either that or it's changing the engine management profiles or something like that to give out less when it knows it's being tested, but under normal performance it's not doing that.
Well, apparently the from what Deepan's saying in the chat room, I'm guessing that the defense of VW is that the criteria is that the car has to meet the figures during a test.
Screw the environment any other time, but as long as we, you think we're being good, we're good.
Well, I don't have any problem with people meeting the standard of rules that are required of them. And if someone says, well, that's not in the spirit of the rules, my answer is always, well, bollocks, that's not what the rule says, that's what the rule says. You know, I couldn't care less whether it's the spirit of the rules and that kind of stuff. The rules have to say what is and is not allowed. And if you comply with those rules, then I'm sorry, tough, move on. No? We're talking about the environment.
Not when you're VW.
You don't think? They have a higher duty of care.
I'd say so, yeah.
Well, if you've got CO2 emissions in a car of, say, 109, and then what the actual result is something that's over 1,000, you know, in truth, I think that's a little bit too much of a tolerance, and they're the figures that are being bandied about in these reports.
I've got to say, Lee, you get Geek of the Week award. Without a doubt. No, because you're the only person that knows the actual figure.
What am I going to do?
No, you're the only person that knows the actual figure, 109.
Dude. Well, no, 109 is what my car is, for example.
Okay.
Because I have to know that.
You still get Geek of the Year Award, because I barely know where the oil goes.
Well, never mind the fact that, you know, the emission's wrong. Is it not surely also false advertising as well?
Well, I don't know.
Because they claimed it was environmentally, you know, sound.
Troisky's put in the chat room, Tesla faked their electrical emissions. Lee, you're getting a bit Cylon-y on audio. I don't know if you...
Oh, okay.
It is just you, unfortunately, so.
But it's a practice now, isn't it? Because didn't we have a thing a couple of years ago where Samsung phones and stuff like that, that when you benchmark them, like for battery life and all that sort of thing, they went into low power mode. So I've actually got them looking at a story right now that, you know, where they've admitted that they've done that. So it looks like it's an industry standard now where people are just going to lie, sell their product, aren't they?
It's a bit of a difference, I think, though, but by saying that your phone performs a couple of, you know, gigahertz better than what it does compared to your car kicks out a load of planet-destroying crap.
Well, there is that, but you know, it's how deep that goes across like many things that probably affect the environment as well.
But I think you've been suckered there, Rich, into thinking that offence and effect are different. And actually, misleading is misleading. It doesn't matter what you're misleading the person on or how far off the garden path you pull them, you're still misleading them.
Yep.
So I think, you know, if you're saying it lasts 2 hours longer than it actually does compared to killing the planet, yeah, okay, your fine's probably going to be bigger for killing the planet, but, you know, lying's lying.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree. It's not wrong in any sense, is it?
No.
Yep. I tell my wife I can go for 2 hours. It's a lie.
What are you talking about? Taking a dump now? I'm having a pee, yes?
I do that more regularly, yeah.
Lee's gone. Lee'll be back at some point, though. Don't worry about it. Going for 2 hours down the pub, says Batwinch.
Yeah. I mean, I know somebody who bought one of these cars on the guise that they were environmentally friendly and is pissed, and rightfully so. Because they've been driving it for 4 years spewing out garbage, and they're a very environmental type person, and they care about that kind of issue. And then you find out, you know, 4.5 years later, oh, guess what? You know?
Yeah. You screwed. Will someone think about the children?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, you're going in to buy a vehicle and they're telling you, hey, this is environmentally clean. And if that's one of your big sort of things, it definitely would have factored into your buying decision when you're, you know, weighing one car versus another.
No, I think that's the thing. But if you look at, you know, do I really believe that I buy the laptop that I buy because of the amount of arsenic that's used in the glass? I don't give a shit, unfortunately.
But, I mean, that's you. I'm talking about there are people that this is part of the thing that they're very passionate about. And the deception there is real, right? It's like...
No, I'm totally agreeing, but there's a lot of people that... I think your friend is genuine. That's fine. That's not what I'm saying. But I think a lot of people make a lot of noise about environment, but actually when it comes down to it, they buy cars based on price, or they buy them based on other factors of luxury that they can get. I get a CD player with this one. I don't get a CD player with that one. What the hell's a CD? That's what drives people to purchase cars. Environment's one. It's like safety, I think. You know, people love, oh, yeah, safety's really important to me. But actually, when it comes down to it, they actually believe they're a safe driver, so they don't give a shit about safety.
I think environment is more than that, because look how many people overspend for electric cars now. I think, in my opinion, I think electric cars are hugely overly priced, but I think the big thing driving that market right now is people willing to pay more because they think they're doing good for the environment. Yeah, I think that's definitely one factor.
I think that's done a little bit more at the corporate level in the UK. So you'll get a lot of corporations will specify a Prius, for example, as the company car, and you'll get a better deal on the Prius. But actually, most companies that give cars actually have drivers who do a lot of motorway driving, and actually a Prius is worse on a motorway than it is in urban. So they end up pumping out far more into the environment. I know one of the firms I used to work with, I'm still friendly with my old boss, and he said, we specified a Prius because we thought it was the right thing to do, and actually when we looked at it, we were consuming far more petrol in the Priuses than we were in the Vauxhall Cavaliers. Just because it was said that, oh, it's an environmentally friendly car. Because that's what the marketing says. And I think that's the point, Adam, is that it's general marketing rather than specific figures.
Sure.
And it's like the crisps or the potato chips that you buy are now 50% bigger. In the UK, you can say it's 50% bigger if you make the bag bigger, not if you put 50% more fries in it or chips in it.
Yeah, true.
So that's the thing, is it? It's your version of the truth, isn't it? Nothing else. VW, well done if you get away with it, and bad luck if you don't. 18 billion, cha-ching. You won't be going into Formula One next season then.
Well, and they don't really say what they're going to do about the vehicles that are all basically, you know, at least in California, they're illegal. You know, I don't know how it varies from state to state or over there, but, you know, here, they basically are not allowed to be on the road.
Well, the DMV's not going to stop them, though, are they?
No, but I mean, you still have a problem, right? That's not going to be fixed. Are they going to do a massive recall? Are they going to do a software update? And then if they do a software update, which is probably how they'll fix it, performance is going to go way down on those vehicles. And then you have a whole other thing, right? Because you bought the car maybe based on its performance because it's a diesel engine and it has a lot of kick. And now suddenly you can't even get on the freeway at a decent speed.
Mm. Looks like the EU on top of it now as well. I'm just watching a live blog of it at the moment now because they're looking at...
the EU are live blogging a court session on fining VW.
They are, and I'm watching it. Oh, it's enthralling.
Wow.
but they're looking at class actions and stuff article. Now. Why people who've bought those vehicles now. So the money they get fined, I think it could be the death of the company. Because how many vehicles have actually been affected, do we know?
Over half a million.
A million.
500,000.
Electric Banana says that Elon Musk is their favourite person in the entire world. Last week they did an essay on them for their science teacher. Optional.
Cool.
Extra work, that was. Extracurricular activities. Batwench says that her husband's Jetta, Mr. Batwench's Jetta, is also potentially involved in this because it's a decil.
Mm-hmm.
And Saranax says all sorts of reasons, I'm sure, but people do take CO2 emissions into account. And if you're being lied to, then that basically is a false claim. Mm. I mean, okay. the thing that's interesting is if it really just have to pass the test, and it can do what it likes if it doesn't pass the test, after it's passed the test, then I don't know. So the thing is, so like we have a trick-or-treat here at Halloween, and the local supermarkets have stopped selling eggs to over 18-year-olds. So they can't egg your house if you don't answer the door. And a few years ago, we heard this thud on the window, and I went out and looked, and it was a little tiny child's yogurt. So they couldn't buy the eggs, so they bought the kids' yogurts to throw at the windows instead. And Sharon's going absolutely ballistic. Little shit, if it was down to me, they'd all be hung for that kind of thing. And I'm like, I'm cool with that. And they said, what do you mean? I said, adapt and overcome. I'm absolutely behind that. The credibility and the innovation of that is absolutely superb. Well done. I'm glad they cleaned that off in the morning.
That's when the starts throwing the one kilo pack at your window.
Right, let's try calling Lee instead.
He's trying to do it on 3G.
Yeah. Oh, is he bollocks.
So this is just a big opportunity for 18-year-olds to cash in on selling eggs to minors, right?
Oh, the illegal egg market.
Incoming call from...
Guys, you can do a nice markup on those.
Are we going to see a new trend of horrible phone calls? Our records show that you purchased a VW car between such and such. Are you aware that under EU regulations you are now entitled to claim... Oh, God, not another one.
Yeah. You had an accident in a VW vehicle. Did you realise that your lungs were polluted during that accident? if they recertify VW's emissions and they are higher, you'd have to pay more road tax.
Oh my God, I hadn't thought of that.
Because we pay a tax to have a car, and it's not a lot, it's a couple of 250 quid. But you, if you've got a lower emissions vehicle, you pay less road tax. So, nice to see you drinking as well, Adam, by the way.
That's true, that's all going to have to be looked at, isn't it?
Yeah.
And frankly, VW should be paying that back to customers if that's the case.
Swamp Rat is complaining about the price of eggs where he is thanks to bird flu.
Oh yeah, there's that too.
Oh dear. Company car tax is also bracketed on emissions, says Deep Pan. That's a really good point as well. Mm. So there you go. We've talked for 20 minutes on a story that no one brought. who did bring a story?
I got one.
Go for it, Adam.
It's now, more fun.
We've got a clip to play.
Play the clip. So imagine that you call into your cell phone provider to check your bill, and this is what you hear.
Have you sent the link in Skype?
Yes.
Because I can't find it.
Line 5.
Yeah, no, but I can't find it. It's not in it.
Let me send it again. That's why I wanted to send it to you before the show.
Ah, here we go. I got it.
You're supposed to queue it up. All right, so this is you call in, you know, you do whatever the line is, and you call in to check your bill.
All right, so this is an audio clip.
It's an audio clip, yeah.
Your total amount due is $2,156,593.64.
What?
This guy, this poor couple in Washington, they've had a Verizon cell phone for 10 months, and their bill is $2,156,593.64.
Let's just play that one more time. Oh, you piece of shit.
Will that be better with a Mac Pro?
sorry, Joseph.
Joseph, it's time for bed. I'm not telling you again.
Your total amount due is $2,156,593.64.
The thing that's really weird about that is the fact that on an automated billing system, they thought maybe we should have the millions included.
That's a good point, yeah.
You can just see them getting to the end of that voiceover the session and someone going, oh, we didn't record millions.
And so they've been going back and forth with Verizon for months now. They agree there's a mistake, but they can't seem to fix it, and it just keeps getting bigger. The bill keeps getting bigger. It started at a couple hundred bucks. You know, it was supposed to be $120 in the first month, and it was like $700, and then it's just been compounding ever since. And now they're trying to buy a house, and they can't get approved for a loan.
I know mobile packages are expensive in America, but wow.
That is awesome.
Have they been, like, tethering since they bought the phone?
if you and you were doing the whole streaming on your cell, maybe that would be your bill.
That's what they're doing. They're actually running a TV channel off the mobile phone.
I couldn't believe the story when I saw it. It's a great example of what we do. I don't know what you guys deal with the cell providers in the UK, but in the States, they're all terrible. I mean, it's like, for months. I mean, why would it take months to resolve this? It's obviously an error.
He could make his money back. He just got a YouTube himself. Listen, his facial reaction to getting that call put on YouTube. He'd probably make his money back.
You could just see... There's this scenario playing out where there's this old guy at home and their internet connection goes down. So he tethers to his laptop just this one time to watch his porn.
Yeah. Bookery's saying my audio is still hot, so I'm going to stand back from the mic. I don't know if that'll help.
That'll help immensely.
Joseph, I hope you're in bed.
Yeah, Joseph, go to bed. Last warning, sunshine. And
make matters worse, they've sent it to collections now for these poor people.
Oh no.
Yeah.
But it's just like he's just this one time he's sat there, the internet's gone out because they've done routine maintenance on it, so he thought, oh, I'll tell you what, I'll just tether this time. I've got the tissues, I'm too busy to start up again. and the lotion's out and I've got the sock drawer open. And I'm just sitting thinking, what the hell? What's the harm? And then the following week on the doormat, and the missus is going, you got something you want to tell me? $2 million.
So I thought that was a fun story to bring.
McCassie says she's not in bed yet. But I think she's slightly older. Electric Banana says, please look at this. And I'm scared to click on the link when people say that, I have to admit, because usually it's... Elon Musk wants to nuke Mars, but the people say it's not as crazy as it sounds. There we go. Adam's volume is cranked way up.
I don't know. I'm back from the mic now, so maybe it
maybe
won't be
the
as bad.
Whole of Oregon has been tethering off their phones.
He's on a Wi-Fi network.
His whole neighborhood.
Right, okay, so apparently Macassi saying I'm not in bed yet means that Joseph's not in bed yet.
Joseph, bed, now.
If you have some problems with him tomorrow at primary school, I'm so sorry. Or infant school. Sorry. It's 8:30. Good grief. Elon's a legend, says Electric Banana. Spot on. Good story, mate. You'll have to let us know if they ever get that resolved. Because that's... I can't believe... $2 million. Well, we're taking everything. I want your boots, your glasses, and your motorcycle.
Well, he can't get a loan in the collections agency. That's the worst part of it. It's like...
Can I have an overdraft, please, to settle this?
Well, and you'd think the loan company or the collections agency would realize someone didn't rocking up a $200 million phone bill. I mean, how is that even possible?
I've seen what the debt collectors are like in America. I really don't feel comfortable for this couple.
Don't base this on repo men, for Christ's sake. I mean, that's just staged. Apparently, McCassie says yes, and Electric Banana's jumping in saying that that he's already sworn at his reception teacher.
Oh dear.
So, if you guys want to have a family domestic or anything, just sign. Just make sure you type it in so I can read it out. Okay. Right, next story. Who's got a story? Bring it in. Come on.
I can talk about something.
Dr. Sestri's Nostrils is gonna bring a story. Go for it, mate.
I was thinking about doing something to animate my nostrils then, but so mine is a tale of a cautionary tale, I think, about Kickstarter, I think. I backed the Pebble Time deal when it came out, which was, gosh, February.
Oh dear.
I think it was. And we were promised that we'd get it in July. And July came and went, and then we were told it would be August. And then August came and went, and finally it was said, definitely, definitely, everybody is going to have it by the end of September. So I have got it. I have got it here.
It came yesterday, didn't it?
No, that was my new phone that came yesterday.
All right.
You can see it there. Terrible screen, but what can you do? But literally, most of us who back the Pebble Time Steel have had it a week, 2 weeks, something like that. I think some people are just about getting their last orders in now. And what did Pebble go and do yesterday? Announce a brand new brand new watch.
You got screwed.
No.
Much to the frustration of a lot of Pebble users.
So is that the round one?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The round one. Now, I you know what? They're a company. They could do whatever they like. But I think the decent thing would have been to hang on a bit before, you know, announcing this, really, when people are literally just getting their orders through the post.
Yeah, that's poor.
Who were promised them in July. And then they just turn around and go, oh, and here's money for it. And the other thing is they're not using Kickstarter for it neither. So I presume when these things come out, they'll be much easier to get. And you'll just be able to buy them. Well, in the States, it's going to be sold on Amazon. It's a different device. It doesn't have the battery life of the steel. I think it only lasts 2 days on a charge. But it's supposed to be one of the thinnest, lightest smartwatches you can get. And it's not so much the fact that they could do that. That's fine, but it would have been nice if we'd known about this at the outset when we were choosing which watches to get.
I mean, this goes back to a basic fundamental point, I think, Richard, that Kickstarter was meant to help companies that had no backing.
Yeah.
And once you've produced something and you've put it out in the marketplace and it's been as successful as the Pebble Watch was, you have backing. You have money in the bank that you should be using to develop your next product. Not going to Kickstarter anyway in the first place. But then on top of that, I totally agree. To do this to people is just, well, it's BS. It's total bullshit.
No, it really is. I mean, it's really upset me and my perception of the company. I just think it's quite, I don't know, not underhanded. I'm not sure what the word is I'm looking for, but it just feels a bit dishonest sort of thing. And
No, I think that's the right word.
It's disrespectful.
Disrespectful, yeah, yeah. I mean, say like Apple bringing, you know, they're not exactly in the same ballpark, but it's like Apple bringing out a brand new watch, and then 3 months later bringing out the next version of it or something like that. You know, you'd be like, what the hell? You know, I mean, you remember the Ferrari when they brought out the iPad 4 6 months after the iPad 3 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, and nobody was forgetting about that anytime soon afterwards. To Pebble's credit, I'll give them this. They've emailed everyone who backed the time and the time steal, and they've said that they'll give you a $50 discount. Big whoop.
Oh, it's pretty expensive, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think it's something like $299 or something.
What's that for $50 more? You're buying an Apple Watch.
Yeah, and then maybe it's a bit less, but it's still well up in the 200s. And then, so they'll ship that to you, and then you'll be able to use them both, I think, for a month and decide which one you want to keep. I don't know. I suppose it's an attempt to try and appease people a bit, but...
They could have waited a little while, couldn't they? If they knew that they were coming out, you know, only being shipped in the last couple of weeks, and they say you only got yours, you know, the last couple of days, they could have held off on. But there's no new smart, you know, Apple's not got a new watch coming out, because a lot of companies do that, where they know there's a new Apple thing coming out, they'll rush their product out. There's nothing that was going to compete. They could have given it a couple of months just to give, like, you know, loyal followers who are willing to give money, you know, on a Kickstarter, which they shouldn't really have been doing in the first place. But it's just out of a little respect to the people who, because they launched off Kickstarter as well, didn't they? It wouldn't be a company without Kickstarter. So they're almost kind of backstabbing the people who made them a company.
Yeah, I think so. At least it's disrespectful, rude, and a bit of a two fingers up to the people that originally chucked some cash in. To float them in the first place.
And maybe the money that people like Rich and that have put into the Kickstarter didn't pay for the steel that he's got on his wrist right now. They paid for the development of the watch that they've screwed him on.
That's quite...
Insult to injury.
I hadn't thought of that.
Companies who don't tell the truth. There's a thing, the theme of tonight, isn't it?
And the other thing is, which pleases me a little bit, is it is butt ugly. You know that.
I was going to say that, but I thought I don't want to make it any worse than it already is.
Just
hold it up to the camera again, mate.
Oh, not my watch, damn it! I meant the round one.
No, yours is pretty fuckly as well, mate. I promise you.
I can't
look at that.
The light is down.
You need the light on it to get the doodah.
Mate, that's a bigger border than the Berlin Wall.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, it's all about dat bezel, as they say on the internet. But it's a hell of a bezel on it.
Mate, that's an end zone in rugby or football, American football.
Oh, man.
But the build quality of this, I've got to say, is really good. It is really nicely made and finished. And the screen's lovely and what have you. The major disappointment for me for this is the screen is not as bright as it could be. This is the thing. I've just got this horrible feeling that they test these things in bloody San Francisco, where, you know, the sun's pouring down all day long, and then you bring it to miserable Blighty, you know, and there's just not enough sunlight to bounce off these trans-reflective displays. But the battery life is still corking. I tend to recharge it on day 7. But it's still got 20% left in it.
Dude, with a Geordie accent, you can't say day 7.
On day 7?
Day 7 in the Pebble Watch.
Richard got screwed.
Look at Trusky says in the chat room, they faked the Pebble emissions.
You think you've got 20% battery left? It's going to die any second.
I tell you what, honestly, if you look at their publicity materials, they make the display look more like an LCD or an AMOLED display. And it's really difficult as well. Because to get like the watch faces and things on the watch, I'm kind of diversing off the story a bit here, but it is a bit about misleading as well, I think.
You're just spinning it out to stop me reading the comments in the chat room.
You have to look, when you're putting the watch faces on, you look at them on your phone, then you're looking at them on a nice, you know, crisp, colourful display. And sometimes some of the watch faces have the option to, you know, set the colours and things like that, so you can choose the colour tones. But they look nothing like it when you transfer that face across to your watch. They're much more muted and duller. So you know, it's just not the same. You have to basically pick a watch face that's easy to see in all light. Some of them you just barely read.
Bookery in the chat room says that bezel is the Maginot line. Deep Pan says, is that a plasma display? And Campion says, I've ordered a taxi from the bezel to the screen. Should be here in a minute. And Electric Banana's working on a nostril gif as we speak.
Excellent. I said we need one before the end of the show.
Do you know what it is? I honestly was very, very close to sending it back the moment I got it. I was just like, I don't know if I made the right decision buying this, but I've got it now. I'm going to live with it. The battery life is a major advantage, definitely. I really didn't want to be into the charging something else every night cycle. So,
I get 3 days out of the watch, providing I switch it off when I'm asleep.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem. I don't.
Have you seen this new trend of people sleeping with them? So there's been some sleep trackers that have shown up. And I've known someone in my audience who's been doing this for a while, and he says all he does is he sleeps with it on, and then as he's getting ready for work in the morning is when he charges it. So you charge it a little when you're getting ready for work, you charge it a little bit when you're getting ready to go to bed, and you can basically go on a 24-hour cycle and never have battery issues.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, I could say that would work.
Yeah, no. I might give that a go tonight, actually.
The whole thing charges in an hour and a half. I mean, you can go from 0 to 100% in an hour and a half.
Well, I've had it on all day, and I put it on this morning at 5 a.m., and I've got 71%. So there's absolutely no reason I've got to take it off. If I put it on before I get in the shower in the morning, it'll get 30 minutes at least before I then have to come to work. And that should be enough to see me through to putting it on before I get asleep. So, yeah, I'm going to give that a go. Try two little micro charges as opposed to the full one.
Yeah. Yeah.
See how I get on. If I get a sleep tracker, it'll go, you're dying. Mr. T says, I'm not going to wear that. I don't get that. I know who Mr. T is, but good story, Richard. Immense mirth was had. I'm so glad you came.
Yeah, I love coming so everyone can laugh at us.
just think of the voiceover money, mate. Righty boy, what did you bring?
Well, I'm ready to be proved wrong on this story. I'm just having a theory. But I know the Mac users had it for a couple of months, but this week, Microsoft started rolling out Office 2016 for Windows. Not just because it's got new versions of Word, and wow, and PowerPoint, wow, Outlook. And I thought, when was the last time I actually used Office? And I was thinking, do you know what? I'm a Mac user and I'm a Windows user. And I was kind of thinking, when was the last time I actually used Office? And I kind of got me thinking, because with Microsoft giving away Windows 10 for free for the first year, apart from business, has the world moved on from I was just reminding myself
because I just need to start recording. It just takes a couple of seconds to buffer up. There we go. You were saying, rightly?
So I reminded myself that I don't actually work in IT anymore, but we get a corporate license, so Office gets thrown in as part of the deal. But I think that if that wasn't part of the deal, that people probably wouldn't use it. And a lot of the users who I used to support are going more mobile with iPads and things like that. And they are finding other apps to do that. Maybe not, it's probably part of Office, but OneNote, people use that, Evernote and things like that. But they want things that sync across devices. And I don't think people are really on top of how Office 365 works yet at the moment to sync things across. I don't think Microsoft's done enough promotion to say what a powerful tool it is, because I don't use the Office apps as much, but I use the cloud service a lot. Yeah. But I think certainly for the consumer market, a new version of Office is kind of like, well, I am probably using something else. And I think that's what Apple's trying to do with the enhanced version of Notes.
But if
I Evernote, want to get in that market. And for everything I do for this show or anything else, I use Google Docs. And
yeah,
that's
but it's not.
That's
I don't think we're typical. Right. I don't think we're good examples of that. Rich, you were going to say something there at that point as well about, I'm presuming, NHS or your experience of exposure to Office.
Yeah, well, my question was for you, Ewan, you're saying you've got the software because other businesses are using it, but can you not use other software that will happily deal with the things that they're sending you without having... No.
Yeah, not really well. Not really well.
The problem that you've got with... there's still masses, and I don't know why this is still the case, because it's like, if we stuck a man on the moon 50 years ago, why can't we do this? But there is, like, table of contents, for example, in a Word document and into Pages utterly corrupt it. And in both directions. There's an awful lot of documents that I get through that have got tables in them where I need to tick and say, so for example, if I'm going out on a railway track, you have to fill in a TVP request, a track visitor pass. And the track visitor pass comes through invariably in Word format. And if you open it in Pages, the boxes never line up properly.
Right.
So when you put a ticker across in, you could end up putting a ticker across in the wrong place. And it's some of us, the questions are pretty serious. It's like, you know, do you suffer from uncontrolled blood pressure issues? Yes. Okay, well, you're not going to work tomorrow night then. You know, which is, that's why I have it. But there is still, I mean, Adam probably can expand far further, but there are still massive corruptions between, you know, the idea of Pages will open all your Word documents. That's like a VW emissions test. It it kind of does, but it kind of really doesn't.
Yeah, that, it really depends. It depends on the source of the document.
I was just going to say, does that depend a lot on what format the other user's saving it in?
Well, you'd expect, I mean, again, going back to the fact that an awful lot of companies are still using XP, a lot of them are still saving out in Word 97. And you'd have expected Pages 2015 to accommodate Word 97 pretty easily, and it really doesn't.
I think it's almost the opposite. If they're using a really old version, it's probably not as much supported. You know, Apple pretty much brought compatibility when they moved to the DocX format. And even there, it's hairy dependent upon what features they're using. Like if they're using macros, which a lot of business documents use, if they're using forms, tables, and you start to get complicated and things get really messed up. And then there's the whole font issue. I mean, it's still a problem. But I think more on Paul's side of the thing, I think consumers have definitely started looking at alternatives because they're finally starting to realize I don't need Word for what basically amounts to a rich text format document, which is all I'm creating. You know, so I think you're really talking about two sides of this, whereas I think business is still firmly entrenched in the Office world, and that's what I deal with. Like with my business, I have to have a copy of Office for exactly the same reasons. But when you start moving to people who are using iPads and iPhones as their primary computing platforms or tablets, then I think you are finding that they're finding alternatives because they're realizing, oh, I really just need like OneNote or Evernote or, you know, something to take notes in. I'm not really, you know, putting out Word documents per se. They're just text documents that I want a little bit of formatting in.
Well, when is Microsoft going to end this, though? Because, you know, people are sending attachments in, like, say, 1997 version. I mean, are they is this going to still be the case, you know, 10, 20 years from now? If Microsoft if Microsoft want to be, you know, a forwards visionary company, that there's going to have to be a point where they're going to have to make some painful decisions, I think, about this kind of stuff, and they're just going to have to draw a line in the sand.
I think they've started with it, because if I'm working in the cloud on Office 365, if someone shares a document with me and I click on it, it gives me two options. It says, open in, like, it's a Word document, open in Word on your Mac or Word on your PC, but you also get the option to work online. And the web-based versions of Office are perfectly usable. And when I share a document with other people that I need to share that multiple people working, I always put in the attachment, please use, when you're asked which version you want to use the online version, because then you're all using the same version. So Microsoft should probably put more efforts into the online versions, because that would then mean that you wouldn't have to have a version at home. Adam wouldn't. I wouldn't have to have a version on my machine. We just do it all in the cloud, in the online tools, and we're all working on the same version. And that would work on XP, Mac, Chromebooks, everything else. I'm sure that the iPad apps probably work on the web version as well. So Microsoft should really move to that instead of pushing out heavy duty desktop apps that continue to cause the problem. Because, like I say, people have got 97 or 2003, or some people have got Office XP. It's ridiculous. So the online version is probably the best way to go.
It is, but if you think about the fact I'm going to spend £1,000 in the next 10 years just being able to open other people's Word documents, there's a bit of that pisses me off immensely.
That is absolutely ridiculous, really.
Yeah.
And it does nothing, I think, in certainly in the consumer's mind, to get rid of that image of Microsoft's software as being awkward and confusing. I think it keeps that vision of them alive.
I think it's not going to change. You could be opening Word 97 documents for the next 10 years quite comfortably, because people are not going to necessarily move away from it. The corporations are not going to necessarily move away from it. They may have legacy documents which are not going to be reformatted, and they just send them and you may have to open them. So I don't see... I mean, if you suddenly said Microsoft, we're going to say, right, that's it. If you've got Office on XP, all of a sudden on Monday morning it won't start up, then, or save as 97, then I think you'd be talking about revolution.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Microsoft knows it, too.
Yeah.
They are doing that on the new iPad Pro, from what I've read, though, that if you are going to run those new Office apps that they showed off on the iPad Pro, you have to be using 365.
And you've got to pay for it as well, haven't you?
Well, yeah, 365 you have to pay for.
Well, on a smaller iPad, you haven't got to pay for the apps.
If you want to edit, you do.
It's because the iPad Pro is a larger screen. Microsoft have certain rules on certain screen sizes where they'll give you a... You don't have to buy a subscription to use the apps on a smaller iPad. But on the Pro, you definitely have to.
But you still have to pay for the app to edit, right? To be able to edit.
On a normal size iPad, you don't, but on the Pro, you will. Because I've got, before I got 365, you can edit. I think it's limited functionality, but you can edit on an iPad Air 2. But once you get to the Pro, you must buy a subscription. So they're tying everyone in, which they shouldn't do. And, they're talking about adoption. There's a reason why people have got XP and they've made Windows free. If they're making the money off the cloud services, I think more now, so maybe Office should be free. And then people may be more willing to upgrade.
They make so much money from corporations on that, there's no way.
Yeah, because Windows 10 isn't free for enterprises, is it?
That would decimate their business.
I was going to say, apart from that and the Xbox, there's not many other places they're making a ton of money, is there really?
No, certainly off the phone.
No. The nose GIF is completed.
Oh no! Oh gosh! Oh no! Please let me see. okay.
Oh, brilliant! Absolutely brilliant.
Looks like something else.
Well, come back, iMac! Please come back.
Spot on. Batwench is gone very quiet now. She's obviously having deep thoughts about that. There's a good point there. If you wanted to know about what that GIF looks like, because you're listening, then all you've got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and click on the relevant day where we recorded the show, and you can look at all of the chat room conversations that took place. You can find out what Macassi's not wearing or is wearing, because I can't read, and you can find a whole load of other stuff about XML, and you get the link to Electric Bananas Make a GIF on Nostrils. Well done, girl. Superb. Brilliant. 14 years old and can make a nostril flare.
Yeah.
We like that. That's good. Are you... Did you the GIF that? Oh, there's a GIF that's there's a rainbow something or other. Right. did we all see that Happy Birthday is back in the public domain?
It is, yes.
Yeah, there's been a ruling, hasn't there?
Yes.
There's been a ruling from a judge, and I'm trying to find his name, because I had it open before we did the restart, and now I can't find it. But effectively, he said, nah, sorry, Happy Birthday is a song for the masses. It's for everyone to use and share. Shut your face, Warners.
Hurrah!
Well, I think the way the ruling came down was the actual tune that the song is based off of was in a different catalog, so the lyrics were written to the tune afterwards, and Warner had the trademark or whatever the licensing on the actual sort of words that went to the tune, but they were saying since the tune isn't in that catalog, then that's pretty much how he decided to rule.
But according to the quote that I've got here from Slashdot, he does suggest that it's something that belongs to the public.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying because the actual source material for the song was never owned by Warner Chappell, and it would be past the date restrictions for going into the public domain, the original sort of music is part of the public domain. So I think that's why the ruling went that way. I was just trying to explain why I think he ultimately decided that. Because he's basically saying the thing that you bought wasn't even valid, so therefore you can't continue to make the claim on this song.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
They're charging, it's interesting if there's going to be a back charge on royalties paid based on this though, or whether that's going to be a line in the sand. Yeah, that wasn't my story. I just thought it'd be interesting to talk about. My story is actually Ofcom has raised the charges for telecoms licenses to £200 million per provider. So the organisation which is here to protect the end user is protecting the end user by raising the money that the licensees are going to be charged for, which they're then going to pass on to the end user. And we will be far worse off as a result. And go on.
I was just going to ask, doesn't that also restrict anybody who wants to come into the market?
Yeah,
like,
no.
If I'm a company, I want to, like, that's a huge barrier to entry.
Well, you can get a license to run a telecoms market. Your problem then is if you've got the bandwidth or the band allocation to actually send your own signal, or whether you've just got to piggyback someone else's and buy it off them. And people like, I think Virgin Media buy off other people, and I think Three Network buy off other people. And I think that actually one of the reasons that Ofcom are about to do this is the fact that the government were banking on the sell-off of the higher band frequencies last year and the year before would rake in significantly more than they actually did. So there's a big, big shortfall on income from the frequency sales. But next year, from 2015, 2016, if you want to enter and if you want to hold a telecoms license, you will be paying £200 million for the privilege.
Maybe you guys will get cell phone rates like we have.
We might end up with it, yeah, most definitely.
God.
But for what reason have they done this?
Well, it's just to give a sense of proportion, it's gone from 113 million to 200 million. So that's a massive percentage of increase.
Yeah, it's double, more than double, or almost double.
Yeah.
See, I'm bad at math.
Why have they done this? I've got their, if you want to have a look at their tables and tariffs, you can do it if you go to Ofcom, because they're a public watchdog. They have to publish all the things that they've got in there. But it does say that the prices are increased. This represents Ofcom's budget for the financial year 2015 is 114 million, but there was a report saying that they'd gone to two. And now the thing that's pissing me off now is I'm looking at this and it doesn't say 200 million, but I saw a report earlier that said that they'd gone to 200 million.
Oh, what, for the fee?
For the holding of a license. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was 229 million, but it's now gone down to the lower amount of 190 odd million.
Right.
Which is still ridiculous.
Yeah. So there you go. Why have they done it, Rich? Your guess is probably going to be the best of the three of us, go for it. I think it's because they've fallen short on the sale of the band ranges.
But the 4G sale?
Yeah, the 4G sale went horribly wrong because they were banking on the kind of volume of income that they got from the 3G sale. And actually, it's horrifically lower than that.
Oh, well, they've got 5G to look forward to. That's probably only a year or two away, isn't it?
Well, I saw some tests on 5G that were listed for Japan, and I don't know that it is that close, to be honest.
Ooh. No.
Well, they might sell the. I mean, at the moment, there's an awful lot of places I go now that show me 4G, and I was at I was working at Stratford, East London, a couple of weeks ago, and over the bank holiday, and I had 4G, and I had full 5 bars of 4G on my phone, and the speed I was getting on that phone just from going to websites was or tweeting out was significantly less than I would have got on old 3G. it was awful, and it was because just the world and his wife was visiting Stratford because they got 80,000 or 56,000 fans in Queen Elizabeth Stadium. They've got a hockey championship going on with 34,000 there. There was another sporting event going by. Charlton Athletic were just down the road. Lake Norient were playing just down the road. And there was a third of a million people using the Westfield Mall. And as a result, the internet was like wading through porridge with a bit of concrete added in.
Mm.
So it's... Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. 3S 4G is not fast, says Muller. Okay. I don't understand the 3S bit.
I think you did 3.
Oh, 3's 4G is not fast. Yeah, okay, yeah. Got you.
There you go.
I've lost the ability to speak and read English clearly. I'm sorry. There you go. That was my
story. She did leave the comma out in your defense.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
For the apostrophe. Muller.
Apostrophe. Yeah, there you go. It's your fault, Muller. How dare you leave an apostrophe? The apologies to apostrophe.
Fair it's enough. The kind of thing that starts wars.
Could be. Eat shoots and leaves. This podcast and all these is brought to our UK too. We absolutely love UK bits. They are absolutely stunning. They look after us immensely. If you want anything for the web, you've got to go and check them out. Domains, simple. 20% reduction if you use our codes. VPS, VPN, co-location services. Dedicated servers, one of which we've got and we're streaming off. And if you want one of the live stream servers that we've got with 100tb.com, we're an affiliated user, then they're absolutely stunning. And they're broadcasting in unison to iOS and to Flash. So if you're sitting there going, oh, I can't watch the Big Show, I can't watch the Mac Show because I can't see it on Flash, well, it doesn't matter because we're streamed to iOS now. So all of that is done thanks to UK2. They've been absolutely stunning. They've supported us for a very long period of time, and they're going to carry on as far as I'm aware. So, love you to bits. Thanks ever so much, chaps. We've also got Len Peralta, who's helping us with the caricatures. The wall's looking good. I've got a couple of people who bought their caricature over the summer while we had a break, and I need to get those sorted and sent over to you. Stick with us. I've just been really busy since August. I will get them done in the next couple of weeks and sent over. The wall's now got 35 images on it. It's lovely. Thank you ever so much to the people that have bothered to donate via the Patreon fund. Send us an email to btncaricatures@gmail.com. You can be on the BTN wall of shame with the rest of us. It's looking really good. It really is looking good. And also, we have the BTN Gamers Show Bash coming up, which will be at the first week of December, so sort of around the 4th to the 10th, that kind of weekendy type thing. We haven't set a date yet. Paul's going to book the hall in the next week, but keep your dates free for something around that time. I went last year with Muller, and it was absolutely fantastic. It's a four-hour drive from Birmingham, so it's not insignificant, but it's not horrific. And it was awesome. We had 16 people playing a game of Halo. It was absolutely amazing. Really, really good. I got my ass kicked all over the place. Ellis is coming with me this year, definitely. It was a really good fun event last year. I'm really glad I went. So keep an eye out. Watch the Game Show Monday night. here on britishnetwork.com/live, and you can find out when it exactly is and get yourself along. It was well worth doing. We had a good load of people there last year, and there was some great gaming had as well, although I was shit at it. Ellis has told me he's going to kick Chizzy's ass at Call of Duty, and I just said, dude, you're not even going to get close, man. Chiz will eat you for breakfast. That's going to be the Holyfield versus Tyson of the Gamer Show event. We're going to do a Call of Duty head-to-head, Ellis versus Chiz, and I think Ellis could be the Holyfield. He might lose an ear.
Ouch.
Right, it's time for Cool Thing. Have you got a cool thing for us? Do you want to start with you, Adam? Are you all right? I've got one, or do you want to come back to you? Because you're a bit... I'll come back to you?
You didn't tell me how to... You said I had to bring a story.
No, we did cool thingies as well on this, so we'll leave it to it.
Give me a second, yeah.
Dr. Rich, what have you got for us, mate, as a cool thing?
I was thinking about this. Clearly, it's not my enormous bezel that I'm going to be...
Dr. Rich's enormous bezel. There we go.
Show title.
I've got a T-shirt with that, I think. Actually, one of my favourite cool things at the minute is the Amazon Prime Video app, because they brought in the ability now to download shows to your phone. And I absolutely love that. I think it's fantastic.
That's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's not new. Yeah. But I've only... It's not that long that it's been out in the world of tech. But it's the first... I've only just started using that facility recently on it, and it is very cool. Netflix totally need to do that.
No? Okay. That's good.
Anything else? There's one big game that I've been playing as well, Motorsport Manager, I think it's called. That's quite cool. If you like your Formula One, you sort of manage the teams and what have you, and but you actually play, you actually see them racing in real time, or you can speed it up if you want, and you make changes on the fly, like bring people in, change the tires, change the handling. But there's all sorts of little things you can twiddle with, but that's quite good. I think that's on iOS and on the Google Play Store. Motorsport Manager, I think it's called.
Okay, good one. Like that one. Electric Banana's got a suggestion as well for a cool thing. For nose gift creation. Righty, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I was looking for a cool thing. It struck me. At work, we're on like the cloud Wi-Fi, and you probably, if you've been around the UK, you probably see the cloud as a Wi-Fi option, kind of in pubs and shops, and it's actually quite surprising what a wide kind of reach it's got. But an app that I've got, it's iOS and Android, it's the Cloud Fast Connect app. So you can go to the cloud I think it's the cloud Wi-Fi website. I think I'll put the link in the chat room. There we go. The cloud.net, that's it. And if you sign up for a free account, they will kind of spam you with a couple of, you know, promotional emails here and there, but you can block them. But with the app, every time you're in range of the cloud Wi-Fi, which is, you can look at their map and see where it is, it automatically connects your phone to that Wi-Fi network. So you can be walking around. I think when I was on the way to the Bash, we stopped off at Milton Mowbray. And while I was in the station, they had the cloud there, and I was on the Wi-Fi while I was in the station. And it's a really great little app, something that's absolutely free if you've got a limited data plan or anything like that, and you want Wi-Fi wherever you go. The Cloud Connect app is a really great little find.
Excellent, mate. Superb. Really, really good. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
All right. I found something. I looked around the office here. I am going to pick this thing. I don't know if you'll be able to see it.
Okay, so that's kind of like the sketch thing.
Yeah, it looks like almost like a cutting board. It's actually from a company called iSkelter, and actually all their stuff is really cool. They make desks and stands and things for your... I think they're kind of Mac fans, but really this would work with anything. And what it is you can... It's a lap desk, so you can slide your... It's got a little slot here, and you can slide your iPhone or your iPad or your Android tablet in there, and then it has a work surface so you can take notes if you're working, and then this one happens to have a whiteboard on one side of it. But you can get a version. You can get the whiteboard on the left side or the right side. You can kind of configure it. And you can get it without that, too, if that's not something you need. But it's just a handy little lap desk, and it's made from bamboo, so it's environmentally friendly. And it's all hand-done by a company called iSkelter at iSkelter.com. And you can check out all their stuff. They make a lot of really cool stuff.
They do. I've got the bamboo thing with the holes in. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, and it does have a little hole so you can run your charging cable through it. And it just comes in handy when you're sitting on the couch, maybe watching TV and want to have your iPad propped up there and doing some work or what have you. So it's a nice kind of surface to work on. And it's $49.99 US. And I did check, they do ship. It does look like they ship to the UK. So I think it's a straight exchange rate on the pricing.
You mean we get bent over?
Well, they are a U.S. company. Sorry.
I think
they do sell on Amazon, so I don't know if you can get a better deal that way.
Right. Okay.
So you might check there.
Yeah, Amazon. You tend to get stuff because you don't have the import charge on that. So.
Yeah. So check there. I don't know if this one in particular is called the Tab, but they have a bunch of different versions of lap desks and.
Do you know what the best bit of all of that is?
What?
I forgot to press record.
No.
After the last restart.
No.
What a wanker.
Oh, he's...
So we need to do all that again.
Come on. I need to have something to eat.
We need to do the cool things. Just do the cool things. Where did we? Is that what we started at? Was it the cool things? It was just the cool things,
wasn't it? I think we were part of the way into it.
Have we got?
I think I had finished mine. I had finished mine when they said we were silencing.
Hang on a second.
Wasn't it yours, Ewan?
Oh, it was only mine, wasn't it? We'd done all the other things. So.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. So my cool thing was shit as well. So my cool thing, right, is soccer physics. It's everything an iOS game should be. It's annoying. It's addictive, it's got shit graphics, but the gameplay is superb. It's basically a simple thing where you've got two players and every time you press the button, they kick and jump at the same time. But it mixes it all up together, so you've got like an acrobatic mode and you've got one where the pitch turns into ice. You've got bigger goals and smaller goals, you get a beach ball or an American football as well, and it mixes it all together. There we go. And I did do a far better explanation of it that was way funnier and everyone enjoyed far more, apart from the fact I forgot to press record. So there you go. That's why you got the boring version. Sorry, you should have been here, shouldn't you? Listen to the live show, for Christ's sake. And I backed up also the AT40 Audio Technicas because they're superb. And Adam uses those as well, and they're closed cup, just in case you're wondering. There we go. Sorry, boys. Where can we get a hold of you quickly, Adam?
The abbreviated version. You can find me at MacCast.com or MacCast on Twitter.
Great having you back, mate. Thanks very much. Righty boy, where are you?
At Paulums on Twitter, mate.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I'm having a deja vu as electric banana. Dr. Richard Bezel, Harkness, where are you, mate?
That's datbezel.com. No. at Rich Harkness for Twitter, and you'll find all the links to on the blogging and YouTube stuff on there as well if you're interested.
Brilliant. Thanks ever so much, mate. My name is Ewan Rankin at ewanrankin.com, EwanRankin, and I'm now going on a Wirecast course. Thanks for listening.